come to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Lord, how we do praise and thank Thee for gathering us in Thy presence these days. Lord, we do thank Thee that Thou truly art our Good Shepherd. Thou hast taken care of us in such a way that we just do not know what to say. We just desire to worship Thee, to tell Thee that we do appreciate everything that Thou hast done for us. Our only desire is that Thou would draw from us that which is Thy due, Thy right. All we do by Thy love constrained to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We want Thee to take hold of us and do with us according to Thy heart's desire. Lord, we want Thee to be glorified. We want Thee to be exalted, to be seen and heard, even through us. So we just commit this time again into Thy hands and trust Thy Holy Spirit to open Thy word to us and open our hearts to Thy word, that these may not be just words, but by the power of Thy Spirit, they may be life and spirit to us. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Will you please to turn to the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel, chapter 21. I believe we are all very familiar with this passage, but we'll use it again. John, chapter 21, we'll read from verse 15 through verse 19. When therefore they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Feed my lambs. He says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Shepherd my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me? Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, Art thou attached to me? And said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say to thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest where thou desirest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and bring thee where thou dost not desire. But he said this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And having said this, he says to him, Follow me. And then another passage that we have quoted again and again, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. We read from verse 1 through verse 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am their fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of the Christ, who also am partaker of the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not by necessity but willingly, not for base gain but readily, not as lording it over your possessions, but being models for the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, he shall receive the unfading crown of glory. In the past two sessions, we shared together on this matter of the place of pastoral care in the body of Christ. We find that pastoral care is one of the greatest needs among God's people today. God has given to the church some pastors and teachers. And whenever we see this gift of man that God gives to the church, pastors and teachers, we thank God for them. And then also we find that to the elders of the local assemblies, God has entrusted them to shepherd the flock, to be shepherds to the brothers and sisters who are in these local assemblies. And we thank God for that. But we see that this matter of shepherding, of pastoral care, is so essential to the body of Christ that God not only gives us these two groups of people to do the shepherding work, but you'll find that this shepherding work actually is to be done by all the members of the body of Christ. As members one of another, we take care of one another. No one member in the body said, "I just take care of myself. I do not care about the other members." It is an impossibility. We have to take care of one another. So in a sense, you find, so far as this function is concerned, it is actually the function of all the members of the body. And if this function is really manifested in the church, within the church, and to the church, then we see that church will really be built in love. There will be growth, and there will be blessing, and will be glory. And then we also share together something of the work of a shepherd, the work of pastoral care. What are the works involved? And we find in Psalm 23 all these different aspects of works. To make the sheep lie down in green pastures, to lead them beside still waters, to restore their souls, to lead them in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, and to be with them when they go through the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes you use the rod, and sometimes it needs the staff. And to spread the table in the presence of the enemy, and to anoint their heads. In other words, now all these are the various aspects of the work of pastoral care. Now this morning, as our concluding session, we would like to share together on this matter of the character of the shepherd. We are familiar with this story mentioned in John chapter 21. Now, brothers and sisters, we all know Peter as the fisherman. He was a fisherman by trade. He cast nets. He caught fishes. And then you'll find one day as the Lord was walking by the Sea of Galilee, Peter was casting nets at that time. And the Lord said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we know Peter the fisherman. Now, as a fisherman, you know he has to be brave, courageous, decisive, strong, rough, strength, skill. Now, these are expected of a fisherman. And it really fits the temperament of Peter. By temperament, he is that kind of person. Impulsive, outspoken, simple, but brave, bold, dare to speak out, rough. And we find the Lord really call him to be a fisher of men. Not a fisher of fishes, but a fisher of men. And you find on the day of Pentecost how he cast the net and caught 3,000 souls. And again you'll find in the house of Cornelius, he cast the net and the whole household of Cornelius were caught. Peter, the fisherman. That was his calling. In a sense, we can say he is an evangelist. He has the gift of an evangelist. He is an apostle. But we really do not know what is the gift of an apostle. Nobody knows. Apostle is an office. It's a commission. But what is the gift of an apostle, we do not know. So maybe the gift of an apostle is an evangelist, evangelizing gift. And here we find Peter, he really has this gift of evangelizing, casting nets. But I think we very rarely think of Peter as a shepherd. But actually you find that he was not only called to be a fisher of men, he was called by the Lord to be a shepherd. He was called by the Lord to be a fisherman when our Lord was living, when he began his ministry. But he was called by the Lord to be a shepherd after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And the calling came in this fashion. One day Peter had nothing to do. Now he was an active person. He couldn't stay home and do nothing. He had to do something. And during that period, you know, the Lord suddenly appeared and suddenly disappeared. And they never knew when the Lord would appear. And he couldn't wait anymore. He had to do something. So he said, I go fishing. And six other disciples said, well, we go together. So they went to fish. But they fished the whole night and got nothing. He was a master fisherman. But you remember the Lord has really spoiled him completely. He couldn't get a fish. And then early dawn, someone was standing on the shore and said, now do you have something, anything to eat? They said, we haven't got anything. So the Lord said, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you will get. So they did, and they got a net full of fishes. Then John, you know, they couldn't see the Lord because they were still a little bit distance from the shore. And in the early dawn, probably there would be mist, fog. But John inwardly knew it was the Lord. So John said it was the Lord. And look at Peter, how impulsive he was. You know, he just put a coat upon him and jumped into the water and swam to the shore. That was Peter. And when all the disciples came in, they saw the Lord has already prepared breakfast for them. There were not only bread, but also fishes already. And the Lord said, took some fish. You know. And the Lord prepared the breakfast. You know, one day we will eat dinner with the Lord. But that was at his coming. And the Lord let them enjoy the breakfast. And after the breakfast was finished, then the Lord began to speak to Peter. Now sometimes we think, well, I think probably we all know that this incident is not the restoration of Peter. Peter denied the Lord three times. He went out. He wandered around. And evidently John went to find him and brought him to his own home. Peter was completely devastated. But after the resurrection of the Lord, he appeared to Peter alone. And I do believe by appearing to Peter alone, the Lord restored Peter completely. So in a sense, this incident does not refer to the restoration of Peter, of his faith. He was already restored. And sometimes we explain this and said, well, the Lord has already restored Peter, but he wants to restore Peter before his companions. In other words, so far as his relationship with the Lord was restored, but with his companions, they still have some question about him. So that's the reason why the Lord used this opportunity to restore him before his companions. He denied the Lord three times, so the Lord asked him three times, do you love me? And that seems to balance it up and clear the whole situation. Well, I wonder whether this is necessary. But to me, I feel this incident is very important. Why? Because the application actually is the Lord is going to commission Peter to some further work. He called Peter to be a fisherman before. But the risen Lord was going to call Peter to a further work. Not just casting nets and bring people in, but also to shepherd the flock. And this incident that happened to Peter was that calling. Now, as you read this incident, you find the Lord emphasize one point again, again, and again. And that's love. In other words, the most essential character to a shepherd is love. Without love, you cannot do the work of a shepherd. There can be no pastoral care if there is not love in the heart of the person who does that work. Love is the foundation. Love is the most essential thing, quality, in the life of a shepherd or whoever is doing pastoral work. So the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, what are these? We have the fire there. You remember when Peter denied the Lord, he was by the fire. In other words, it was a cold night. He followed the Lord at a distance. And it was so cold that there was fire there And he drew himself near to the fire to warm himself. And there was also the other people there. You know, Peter loves crowd. He did not want to be alone. So even when our Lord was being judged, here was Peter. He loved the crowd and he was there with the crowd. So the Lord asked him, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the fire? Do you love me more than your companions? Do you love me more than the bread and the fish? Do you love me more than these? You know, these things represent something that appeals to us naturally. In other words, these things gratify ourselves, our flesh. We need warmth, comfort. We need companions. We need food. We need these things. These will gratify our flesh. And people who love these things love themselves. So as if the Lord said, now do you love me more than loving yourself? Once upon a time, Peter thought that he loved the Lord more than himself. But it was proven that this was not the case. That he really loved himself more than the Lord. So the Lord said, now do you really love me more than these? In other words, do you really love me more than loving yourself? Are you self-centered or are you Christ-centered? Love that can be compared is limited. So the Lord begins with a kind of questions. Peter, do you love me more than this? Even though the word love is agapeo, it is that absolute love, but still you find that it is to be compared with something else. Love you. Peter said, Lord, you know, I love you. And I read from the New Translation, it says, I'm attached to you. Because the word Peter used is not agapeo, it is filial. In other words, I'm friendly with you. I'm really towards you. I have a good feeling about you. Now, Peter, knowing what he was through his failure, he dare not say, now, if other people will escape, I will follow you even unto death. I love you more than anything else. He knew he wasn't that. He knew he didn't have that absolute love. And he knew he loved himself more than the Lord. He knew that. But he had learned his lesson. So he said, Lord, I am attached to you. I do really feel about you. I'm friendly with you. And then the Lord said, feed my lamb. So you find the commission of our Lord Jesus to Peter is upon this matter of love. In other words, if there is not that love the Lord more than these things, loving the Lord more than loving yourself, then don't talk about pastoral care. The Lord will not commit any lamb to you. Because you only care for yourself, you do not care for other people. And if any sheep, any lamb should be committed to you, you will find you will be like a hireling, not a shepherd. You will probably feed upon the lambs instead of feeding the lambs. And when the wolf comes, you will flee. because you take care of yourself. Dear brothers and sisters, as long as we are self-centered, as long as we love ourselves more than the Lord, as long as we love comfort and ease, as long as we love to gratify our flesh, remember, the Lord will never commit any land to you. You may grasp them, but the result is you will hurt them instead of helping them. Love is the prerequisite of shepherding. But that love is limited. So the Lord said, feed my lambs. Now lambs are little sheep. These little sheep need to be fed. They are not able to digest solid food. They can only take in pre-digested food, milk, pre-digested food. And you are to feed them with pre-digested food. In other words, you have to digest the food. And then, out of what is digested in you, you are able to feed the lamb. Now, thank God, those who are in the Lord for some time, they ought to be able to take solid food. As you remember, not only in 1 Corinthians, but in Hebrews, you find that if a person has believed in the Lord for a few years, for instance, he ought to be able to take solid food. He ought to have his senses exercised, distinguish good and evil. You know, his spiritual senses should be exercised. And he should be able to digest a solid food. And then, with the milk, he is able to feed the little lambs. But, even so, love is the requirement. And then the Lord asked him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And here you find the Lord put it in a way that there is no comparison. The Lord is not comparing himself with anything else. Why? Because the Lord is incomparable. He is alone. He is unique. He stands all by himself. You cannot put him on the same level with anybody else or with anything else. You know, Peter did it once on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he is putting Moses and Elijah on the same footing as our Lord Jesus. Moses, the greatest, the lawgiver, the king, and Elijah, the representative of the prophets. And Peter tried to put them with the Lord on the same level. And immediately you find God cut through and said, no. God took Moses and Elijah away. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Because he is incomparable. You cannot compare him with anybody else, not even with the greatest. He is all by himself. So the Lord said, now do you love me? Period. There is no comparison. You just love me. That's it. The Lord is everything. He is all. And Peter, knowing himself, he dare not say he loved the Lord in such an absolute way. He can only say, Lord, you know, I'm attached to you. I really feel good about you. And on that basis, the Lord said, shepherd my sheep. You know, in the flock of God, you have little sheep, lambs. But you also have sheep, grown-ups. And these sheep, you do not feed them. You shepherd them. You know, there's a great difference between feeding and shepherding. Feeding is feeding them with pre-digested food. You digest it for them because they are not able to digest it. For instance, in the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, you digest the Word of God through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God becomes living in you, becomes digested and absorbed in you, and then out of your understanding, experiential understanding of the Word of God, you are able to feed the lamb. Help brothers and sisters who are not able to chew solid food. But to the sheep that are grown up, now don't feed them. See, the problem is, oftentimes we feed the sheep. And if we are feeding the sheep all the time, you'll find they will go backward. They will become babes instead of growing up in the Lord. And that's the reason why you find today among God's people, they do not go to the Word themselves. They do not listen to the Spirit themselves. They do not have that intimate communion with the Lord themselves. They do not take their problems to the Lord and seek after Him. They do not look to the Holy Spirit to illumine the Word to them and quicken them before Him. Instead, you find they are just waiting for someone to speak. Every Sunday, they come to be fed. Already digested. They don't need to meditate upon it. They don't need to deal with it. They just listen. And if it suits them, they are happy. If it doesn't suit them, they reject it. They cannot digest. It has to be pre-digested. And no wonder today you find there are so many babes in the church. I think the responsibility is mutual. The responsibility, of course, lies with themselves because they are not seeking as they should. But I think partly the responsibility lies with those who shepherd them because you do everything for them. You never give them a chance to digest themselves. All you need to do is to make them lie down in green pasture. Let them feed upon the grass and let them ruminate and chew the cud and let them rest and let them drink themselves. All you need is to direct them, to lead their way, and when they fall away, restore them, you know, and to be with them as they go through difficulties. Now, that's all you need to do, but don't do everything for them. You carry the lambs in your arms, but with the sheep, you lead the way. You don't carry them. You shepherd them. And to shepherd the sheep, it demands absolute love towards the Lord. If we love the Lord, period, then the Lord said, shepherd my sheep. No, in a sense, shepherding the sheep is more difficult than feeding the lambs. Because the sheep has their own will, has their own way. You know, they are not just in your hands and you can do anything you like with them. They disagree with you. They argue with you. They murmur against you. They criticize you. They do not appreciate you sometimes. It's more difficult to shepherd the sheep. But don't destroy them. Respect them. You know, God respects our personality. We have to respect our brothers and sisters. But try to help. Try to shepherd. Try to lead. And it requires that love, that absolute love towards the Lord. And then you find the Lord does not just stop there. Because in the church, in the flock of God, you find not only lambs, you find not only sheep, but you find old sheep or sick sheep. They are grown up, and yet they are declining. They are weakened. And because they are weakened, they are not able to take care of themselves anymore. You know, this is not only physically true, this is spiritually true. You find that among God's people, there are some who have been with the Lord for a number of years, but somehow you find that they begin to become old, aged, stagnant. They are not going on anymore, become passive, you know. So the Lord said, now, Peter, are you attached to me? Now, here you find the Lord lower, as it were, his question. Instead of demanding that absolute love from Peter, the Lord understood Peter. So the Lord said, now, are you really attached to me? Are you really friendly to me, feel good about me? And when the Lord said that, of course, Peter was very grieved. Because he sensed he couldn't rise up to that standard. He wanted to, but he dared not to boast anymore. So he was grieved. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I'm attached to you. But on that basis, the Lord said, feed my sheep. You know, some sheep needs feeding. Ordinarily, sheep only need shepherding. But when a sheep gets old or sick, weak, then you need to feed them. And, you know, that's even more difficult. They have experience. They have a long past. They have a history. They are fixed. They are set. And when you try to feed them, they don't appreciate it. They think they should feed you. Who are you? You know, it's even more difficult. Feed a baby is difficult. But feed the aged is even more difficult. Peter, the fisherman, strong, rough, impulsive, he will never be able to feed the sheep. He will kill them. He has no sympathy about them. You know, if anyone is weak with Peter, he has no sympathy with the weak. Because he's strong. And it took his fall to humble him and to make him sympathetic. So when he said, Lord, I'm attached to you, the Lord said, now, I'm ready to commit the old and sick sheep to your hands. You can feed them. Brothers and sisters, the one most important character that must characterize a shepherd is love. Now, we do not have that love. Do not think that we have that love. Our natural love is not enough. Our natural love is not only not adequate, but our natural love can really spoil the whole work. It has to be the love of God. When Peter thought that he had that love, he didn't. But when Peter realized he didn't have it and acknowledged it, he was given that love. Brothers and sisters, if we think we love, we do not know what is love. But if we feel that we do not have that love, and we acknowledge it before the Lord, you know, the Lord will give us that love. And this love comes only from the Lord. And that's the reason why the question is, do you love me? This love does not begin in us. We cannot generate, manufacture that love. It's not there. But as we see the Lord, as we are constrained by the love of Christ, then that love comes within us and enables us. So whenever we are doing this pastoral work, brothers and sisters, let us realize that this is not something that we can do ourselves. It is more than just a matter of solving some problems. It is more than a matter of helping in some way. You find that behind it, there must be love. If there is not a love there, even though you help people solving problems, or even you give people something to alleviate their difficulties, you cannot call this pastoral care, because it does not result in the glory of God. You may get the glory. And it does not bring people to the Lord. So, you have to have the love in you. Every time you are doing that pastoral care, you have to ask the Lord to fill you with His love. And when you are filled with His love, then you'll find you're able to feed the lamb, shepherd the sheep, and feed the sheep. And then the Lord goes on and said, now Peter, when you are young, you go wherever you want to go, to do whatever you want to do. You are free. But when you are old, you will stretch out your arms and people will take you to the place where you don't want to go. And this signifies the way he would die. And the Lord said, follow me. You know, the Lord, by the Sea of Galilee, at one time, called Peter and said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. But here you'll find again by the Sea of Tiberias, the Lord called him again and said, follow me. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Follow me. So when he wrote that letter to the elders in the different assemblies in 1 Peter, now this is what he said. He said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am their fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of the Christ, who also am partaker of the glory about to be revealed. Now, Peter was a fellow elder. We know that of the 12 apostles, some of the apostles also became elders. Not all. Peter was one. John was another one. Because in 2nd and 3rd John, he said John the elder. And of course, there are different interpretations. But I personally feel that it can be both. He is the elder, the aged at that time, and he probably was an elder in the church in Jerusalem. So in the church in Jerusalem, you find, because it was such a center of the Lord's work, so it's more than just a local assembly, you find the apostles live there. So probably some of the apostles served at the same time as the elders of the church in Jerusalem. Peter was an elder. And as an elder, of course, he was to shepherd the flock in Jerusalem. But I believe that he was called to be a shepherd more than just shepherd the local flock, as it were. I believe that being an apostle, he moved around, and his shepherding actually covers a much wider sphere. He was to shepherd the whole flock of God. So here you find he wrote to the elders in these different assemblies. They were shepherding the flock in their local assemblies. And he wrote to them and said, I'm your fellow elder. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. You know, these two are joined together. People sometimes like to be elders. But let me tell you, suffering is joined to eldership. If you don't want suffering, don't aspire to be an elder. You can live a much comfortable life if you're not an elder. If you aspire to be an elder, then be ready to be a witness of the sufferings of the Christ. Now we all know the word witness in the original is martyr. Ready to be a martyr. Ready to share in the sufferings of Christ. Now we know the sufferings of Christ are so inclusive. There is a part of his suffering that we cannot share with him. Christ died as our substitute. His atoning death. He tread the winepress alone. Nobody was with him. Nobody could be with him. And so far as that part of suffering is concerned, he is alone. We receive the benefit of his sufferings, but we cannot share his sufferings. But you find that there is another part of his sufferings, that we are called to have fellowship with his sufferings. So, brothers and sisters, we have to be very clear about that. On the one hand, we cannot share with his sufferings, his atoning death. He did it for us. And we receive the benefit of it. We thank God for it. But on the other hand, you'll find there is a wide area of the sufferings of Christ that we are called to have fellowship with him. That is, to share with him. And this witness of the sufferings of Christ doesn't mean that you are just standing there witnessing it, as it were, seeing what is happening to him. Now, that's true. You have to see that too. You have to see that first. But seeing that, you are called into fellowship with him in his sufferings. So in other words, you are not just standing there and observing, looking at it, but by looking at it, you are drawn into it, you become a part of it, and you become a martyr. You have to die for it. So, dear brothers and sisters, shepherding and suffering cannot be separated. And the only reason why the suffering is something that you can endure, it is because there is love. You know, love and suffering are inseparable. Wherever there is love, there is bound to be suffering. The parents love the children, and they have to suffer for their children. Love includes suffering. If you do the love, then you don't need to suffer. But if you love, there is bound to be suffering. God so loved the world that he suffered in giving up his only begotten Son. And no one can say how much God suffered. Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. He laid down his life for the sheep. And how he suffered. Sometimes we think of the sufferings of Christ only in the area of the physical, but that's the least part of it. And his greatest suffering is on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He who was equal with God, coexisted from eternity, always one, never separated, and for that 3 short hours, they were separated. The Father and the Son were separated. Now he suffered. Why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why? The only answer is love. Because God loves. Because he loves. That's why it is. And dear brothers and sisters, whoever is to do the work of shepherding must have the will to suffer. If you do not have the will to suffer, don't do the work of shepherding. You won't be able to stand it, to endure it. But if there is love, love suffers long. You remember the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verse 24, he said, I rejoice in my suffering for you. Why? Because I'm filling up that which is behind of the affliction of the sufferings of Christ in the flesh for his body, which is the church. Through the sufferings of Christ, the atoning death of Christ, the church is born. But for the church to be built up, to arrive at full growth, at the measure of the fullness of the stature, of the fullness of Christ, you find that God uses people to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ for the body's sake. Now, being an elder, of course, this is part of his work, to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ for the body's sake. And through such fellowship with his suffering, through suffering, there will be something born, giving birth, bringing to being, that will last to eternity. So, brothers and sisters, here you find the Apostle Peter being a shepherd himself. He knows what he's talking about. And he said, now, be ready to suffer. But suffering to the one with love is worth it. And so on that basis, he exhorts the elders of the church, exercising oversight over the flock of God. Now, by exercising oversight, it doesn't mean that you do everything for them. It means that you oversee them. Now, with the sheep, with the lamb, of course, you have to feed them. But with the sheep, you just direct them. You know, the problem today is, and this is something that is traditional, it's not scriptural, it is traditional, because well, actually, it begins way back, you know, after, well, for instance, in the first 4th century, after the persecutions were over, and Christianity became popular, and the emperor encouraged people to be baptized and join the church, and if any soldier under him was willing to be baptized, he would be rewarded with silver and clothes. So who will not do that? You not only get the physical benefit, but you have the pleasure of the emperor. So the church was filled with people. But these people do not know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. And therefore you'll find you have to get someone to be trained to take care of them, and gradually you'll find the priest system in the Catholic Church, and during the Reformation you'll find even Martin Luther really preached the universal priesthood of believers. Can you believe that? He really preached the universal priesthood of believers at the time of Reformation, but it was not taken up. People like to go the easy way. So they just adopt what they found in the Catholic system, and here you come the pastor system in the Protestant church. So you have the pastor there taking care of everything. You don't need to do anything. And if you try to do something, well, you cause problems. It's better you don't do anything. You know, and let the pastor take care of everything. Now, that kind of shepherding, no wonder with that kind of shepherding, the body does not grow. It shrinks. Exercising oversight. It is true, you need to set an example. But don't do everything for the brothers and sisters. help them, teach them, instruct them, direct them, and let them do the things they should do. Now, even though in the beginning it's slow and it's difficult, and you know how to do it, and you can do it well, but it's better not to do it well and let the brothers and sisters do it than to do it well by yourself. That's exercising oversight. And we have already shared in the seminars about all these characteristics, not by necessity, but willingly, not of base gain, but readily, not lording over it as your personal properties, but being modeled for the sheep. So I think we don't need to go into our time, is already passed. But anyway, to conclude it, in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd is manifested, ye shall receive the unfading crown of glory. Brothers and sisters, those who do pastoral work, shepherding work, your reward is not now. Your reward is in the future. If you're expecting the reward now, you will be disappointed. Now, it doesn't mean that you do not experience joy and all these things. You do. When you see a brother restored, now you're filled with joy. You know, and when a brother is being fed or is being led, and you see the growth there, of course you rejoice. You know, that's part of your reward. But remember, balance again that, you will find there will be more sorrow than joy you will experience. So the reward is not now. Your reward is when the chief shepherd is manifested. When the Lord shall return, then to those who are faithful, he will reward them with the unfading crown. You know, the background is, of course, the Olympics and all these Greek games. Now, after these games, those victors, they will be crowned with a flowery laurel. But that's fading, because the flower will fade. It's just a glory for a period, that's all. But those who do the work of shepherding faithfully, and are willing to suffer for the Lord's sake, for the body's sake, you will find as the appearing of the chief shepherd, you as under shepherds, you will be rewarded with an unfading crown of glory. You know, in 2 Timothy, Paul said, I have run the race, I finished the course, I have kept the faith, and there is a crown of righteousness waiting for me. Not only for me, but for all those who look forward, who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus. In other words, if we really look forward to the coming of the Lord, if we really love his appearing, then we will be watching and praying. We will try to walk in the path of righteousness. We will try to do the will of God. And because of that, we will be rewarded with a crown of righteousness. And then in Revelation chapter 2, you will find to the church in Smyrna, because they are faithful even unto death, so the Lord will reward them with a crown of life. And here you will find those who suffer with Christ, they shall share the glory with Christ. So they will be rewarded with an unfading crown of glory. As we have already said, what is glory? Satisfaction. God is satisfied. And of course, you are satisfied. So, brothers and sisters, this pastoral work is not an easy work. So far as today is concerned, is not very rewarding. It is very much misunderstood, unappreciated, even criticized and rejected. But it is one of the most essential work for the body of Christ. And we are all called in some measure into it. And let us look to the Lord that we be faithful. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, after we have shared, we have to say that unless thy love constrains us, there is no way. So we just humble ourselves before thee and say, Lord, if this is what thou wants, have it through us. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.